Welcome to 2021 and the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. Mr. Hodge speaks on a weekly basis about relevant news for all postal crafts in Columbus, Ohio, and beyond.
Well, come to the 2021 Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. Let's talk Columbus, Ohio. Hey, how's everybody doing today? As we get the 2021 season started, let's jump right in. Let's talk about an issue in Columbus, Ohio that is relevant today. And that issue is 1767. A report of hazardous or unsafe work conditions or environment. Now, it appears that as a result of the heavy influx of mail, the Postal Service, always looking for the Lean Six Sigma way of training to get it done faster with less people, the postal way. In the TMS area, they used to stack trays on pallets, then shrink wrap them and send them out. Well, apparently it was faster or more efficient, so the post office thought, instead of stacking them on pallets, let's put them in Gaylord boxes that are, you know, half-size Gaylord boxes, and we're going to expedite the packing of this mail. Well, they forgot to look at the ergonomics of that. And right now there's an issue in our TMS, particularly on tour two, with employees or mail handlers. When you load those boxes, you have to rotate your hips and lean forward at the waist. Now, in order to bend over to get the bottom layer started, you got to bend over the top of the box. Now, it is my understanding, let me say also, that the post office is probably going to respond with, they have instructed people to ensure that they put four or five flat trays in the bottom of the box to raise it up to a comfortable level. Probably not the way employees are working it. I see them bending over in those boxes, and I'm going to tell you something. It looks kind of painful, but here we are. It appears that the mail handlers on tour two have gotten with the only steward in the building, and they're filling out 1767s again. Yes, I say again, because apparently, or legend has it, that a 1767 was filled out, turned into management. One manager turned it over to another manager. Bottom line is, no manager knows where the form is, so apparently it was never addressed. Well, it is my understanding that the mail handlers turned in one form and it got lost. I think it is their intention to give you many forms of the same infraction, just in case you should misplace one of the forms again. But common knowledge, if you look at the size of a Gaylord, the height of a Gaylord sitting on a pallet, when you ask the average employee to bend over and, you know, to bend at the waist to put letter trays inside of a box to be shipped out, if you look at the ergonomics of that, it would not make sense if you were really concerned or thought that process through. So, again, I'm very thankful that I didn't have to work and stack those trays in that box in that manner, stack trays in a Gaylord in that manner, because if I had to physically do it myself, oh, this issue would have been on the front page a long time ago. But as it comes to my attention, I try to get the word to management or act as an advocate, for lack of a better word. Hopefully, the concerns of employees addressed through many channels will get heard by management, and a better work environment will be the end result. But those 1767s, if you work in TMS, or if you work in any of those areas, any area in the post office that requires you to load trays in a Gaylord box that's sitting on a pallet, then if it is uncomfortable to you, if it is painful to you, then all I'm going to say to you is you need to let someone know, particularly your supervisor, and the best way to let them know would be through a 1767. Now, if you are fine with the process, then the process is not an issue to you. I'm only talking to those folks who are having an issue. Now, as postal management, I would think that that issue, although the original 1767 was misplaced, wink, wink, the issue was still raised. And I think postal management, and again, I think, may have turned a deaf ear to the idea of changing out the Gaylords to have you stack those boxes to be shrink wrapped for dispatch is because they understood that with two shrink wrap stations there, that they were not going to be able to keep up with the amount of mail that was coming and going through the TMS lanes. And so a decision was made, again, let's do what's more productive rather than what's more safety oriented for our employees. But that's just how I look at it. Now, I want to take a moment and just share with you the instructions on a 1767. Because, see, if you understand this form, then you won't allow it to get lost by postal management. And let me say to you, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the instructions on the back of every form. First, I want to say to you, do not use the one-page locally reproduced 1767 because I'm pretty sure that's not going to go anywhere. The 1767 is a carbonated form and it has four copies on it. Again, it's a carbonated form and it has four copies on it. It's got a white, yellow, pink, and blue. It's important that you know the white copy will be for local safety office after the abatement is made. The yellow copy will go to the approving official. The pink copy will go to the local safety official initial notice. And the blue copy, that copy you get and you get to keep. And very important that you understand, you get that copy back the same day you give it in. So when management tells you, I'll give it to you tomorrow, that's not how the form is supposed to be manipulated. Here we go. 1767, the employee. You complete section one and file it with your immediate supervisor. If you desire anonymity, complete section one, including your name, and file the report with the safety office. Safety personnel will immediately return the form to your supervisor for necessary action and will delete your name from the form to ensure your anonymity. And let me tell you something. What would you require anonymity pertaining to reporting a safety hazard? If you feel some kind of way because you're reporting an unsafe act, then don't report it. But you do have anonymity should you desire that. Okay, now, you filled this form out, you gave it to your supervisor. Now, your supervisor has to investigate the alleged hazard, listen to this, during the same tour of duty in which the report was received. Did you hear what I said? So if you turn in a 1767 and then you go home without your blue copy, then you failed yourself. Abate the hazard if it is within the scope of your ability to do so. Record the actions taken to eliminate the hazard or record recommendation for corrective action in section two and assign your name. Here we go. Forward the original and yellow copy to your immediate supervisor. Now this is supervisor actions. Send the pink copy to the safety office and give the employee the remaining blue copy as a receipt. It is your responsibility to monitor the status of the report at all times until the hazard is abated. That is the responsibility of postal management. And then it goes on to the approving official, initiate actions to eliminate or minimize the hazard. Again, the approving official is now going to forward through the channels to the manager of plant maintenance. If you determine there are no reasonable grounds to believe a hazard exists, notify the employee in writing within 15 calendar days. Safety personnel will assist you with a determination when requested. So again, when you talk about a 1767, during the same tour you turned it in on, you should receive your blue copy. If you have a 1767 submitted within 15 calendar days, you should be notified in writing by the approving official. Now, finally, when the work order has been completed, signed date, and returned to original the form to the approving officer, who will then forward it to the safety office. That is what the maintenance supervisor, they have the last step in this process. So again, if you didn't know about a 1767, now you do. And two important things I want you to hold on to. And one, you get the blue copy back the same day you turned it in. Two, 15 days after, you should be notified in writing. Very simple. All you have to do is hold the Postal Service accountable, and I guarantee you, they will perform. Hey, listen, I'm going to bring today's podcast to a close as we talk about COVID-19, coronavirus, Columbus, Ohio, and how, as employees, you better look out for yourself, because I'm telling you, I don't think the Post Office cares that much. Again, my podcast, my opinion. Here's the story. You tell me, and you arrive at your own conclusion. I work on the apps tour two, and about a month ago, one of the employees there contracted COVID, a positive case, was sent out of work, came back earlier than expected, earlier than the prescribed amount of time that the employee was supposed to stay out. Now, he's a fellow employee. We work together. He comes to work early, earlier than expected. After being there for a few hours, postal management realizes that. They send him home. All the people he came in contact with were not a part of any contact tracing. And when I raised the issue to the plant manager and to the nurse, the plant manager's response to me was, the new CDC guidelines, which had not been published as far as the post office are going to comply with the new guidelines. The plant manager's response to me was, the new CDC guidelines means you don't have to quarantine for as long. I think he said it was 10 days now instead of 14 days, but nonetheless, that employee was sent home to be in line with the 14-day quarantine. But when I raised the issue, I was told by the plant manager that they're following the new guidelines. So apparently, they followed the new guidelines with respect to contact tracing or the absence of contact tracing, because the employee was out of work for 10 days. But the actual guideline says quarantine for 14 days. So my point making, and yes, I know it sounds confusing, but that's what it's like talking to Columbus, Ohio Postal Management. It is just that confusing. Now, let me tell you why I told you that story about the employee coming to work early. Now we're following, as per the plant manager, new CDC guidelines. So here we go again. On Saturday, we have an employee who reported for work. All this takes place right on the apps, which, by the way, I guess they decided to finally supervise again. But employee comes to work, is at work, finds out that allegedly her significant other, her partner, her friend, somebody who lives in her household has a positive test. So she goes home. And what does the post office do? They shut the machine down and they bring the tore two custodian teams in their semi-hazmat posture to sterilize the machine. So again, right up until this point, sounds excellent. Post office understands and they are showing that they care about people. But what happened was that decision must have been a local decision, because as soon as that decision was sent to the plant manager, things go a little awry. And I ask you for your input. If you're working on a piece of equipment in the middle of operation, they shut it down, they come in with the sterilization team, they sterilize your area, are you within the normal realm or thoughts of possibility that there was COVID on that machine? Now, again, if the post office understands the possibility of the coronavirus being present in that work environment, when I asked could I go home on administrative leave, I was told, no, you have to use your own leave, which I did, but I don't think that that's proper. The post office understands the coronavirus is in an area. The post office also understands that they're going to go and sanitize the area. But the post office don't understand that because there's a possibility that to err on the side of caution by allowing people to leave that day on administrative leave, to me, was the only option. But instead, understand this. They understand that there was a contact made with an employee, significant other, who is positive. We understand that if you are positive today, and again, because you have a negative test, doesn't mean that you still don't have the coronavirus. And I know that sounds crazy, but there's a timeline here that I'm trying to establish. They send the employee home because, again, that employee is in contact with has been in contact with a positive contracted person. They sterilize the machine. Everybody who was on that machine got to stay in another area in dump sacks, which means if that virus was present, the Postal Service just spread that throughout the entire building. Again, I think it was only right that since there was the possibility of the virus being present, that the post office offer admin leave to that section for the rest of just that day while they began their contact tracing. None of that happened. And again, I guess Columbus, Ohio is still the second best processing distribution plant in the Lakeland division. And these are some of the things that they do to make sure that they stay second to none. My name is Kenny Hodge, and this is the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. We're going to keep the mics hot. I'm going to up the frequency in which I talk to you. In fact, I'll talk to you on Thursday morning. New employees, stand by. I have very interesting news that you need to hear that you're not going to hear anyplace else. That's why it pays to listen to the KHP.